and paying trip to Burlington and lived at our family home called Meadow Farm at the village of Burlington. Brothers, I had four, went to the Aberdeen school. When my mother came to Aberdeen, she was a Philadelphia woman, and the school was very antiquated. Pigs wallowing in the yard, and a pot-bellied stove in the schoolhouse. And she said she wasn't going to have her children going to school like that, so she made a great protest. And the Board of Education finally built a big school in Aberdeen. I was younger, and I went to a private school. My two brothers, John Silver and Arthur Silver, we drove from Aberdeen to Churchville and went to school where friends of ours had a tutor.
Now, when you say you drove, what did you drive
in? We drove in a horse and carriage. Sometimes it was a buggy, sometimes it was a what we called a German hand wagon, two seats faced the fore, one back one pulled up and faced toward the rear. And it was 6 miles. It took us about an hour. We had good horses, and we drove. Every morning we left, and we got up to school at 9 o'clock, and we stayed until 1 when we drove home and had lunch. We knew every fence post and every bird's nest and every cow that was on passage as we went, because we had to amuse ourselves. Well, the boys got older and went to Aberdeen School. I went to had a private tutor, but eventually I went to the Aberdeen School in 5th grade. And my brothers, as they grew older, went to the Jacob Tome Institute at Fort Deposit. Jacob Tome Institute was a school founded by Jacob Tome for a free education for the boys of Harford and Cecil County at no cost whatsoever. This was a day school, but the directors of the school eventually broke the will and brought in boarding students. Well, the boarding students were paying a great deal of money, and there was always rivalry between the boys' school, the day school, and the foundation. But Tome Institute was where the Cum Laude Society was originally founded, and it's compared to Bordentown, Hill School, Percy Owen, Gilman. They're all high-class, first-class prep schools. My brothers all graduated from there and then went from there to Harvard and hardly had to do any work the first year because their training and teaching was so superior. I went on to Aberdeen School for 2 years, then I went to boarding school. A Quaker school outside of Philadelphia, Westbound School. And I was there for 3 years. And that was a coeducational school outside of near Westchester. Graduated from there, and then I would like to go back and tell something about our growing up. We had an unusual period growing up. We lived in Burlington. My family, we moved up there in the middle of June, the day school was over, and we moved. The house was furnished. It's moving in horse and wagon, trunk, jars, animals,
silver, house-made, gold, cash. We all came horse and wagon from Aberdeen to Dillon. Mother would have come earlier and cleaned the house and had the beds made up when we got up there. We were home. Meadow Farm was always home. And we had lovely growing up time because there were about five families who had three or four children. And we could always get together and have fun. We made our own entertainment. We had a tennis court inside of our house. We played tennis. It was a grass court. We played croquet. We played games. We rode horseback. We had picnics. Mother was usually free because Father was very often there, and we used to ensure on business with a canned goods company. He was a broker for the canned goods and supplied money for the packers. So Mother was free, and we would go off on picnics. We would go down to Shores Lane, which is below the Conolinga Dam. And there we would have, it was a very stony, rocky place, but we would wade out and get into the channel where we all were good swimmers, and we would swim for an hour or so. Then we would come and all put our picnic suppers on the bread upon the tablecloth, and all sit down cross-legged on the grass and have supper, sharing all our. We had peanut butter sandwiches and some gravies and lettuce and cucumbers and potato salad. Somebody had made it in your bed, and yeah, I see. We had very simple food. And we never had any hot dogs, we never had hamburgers or anything like that. Maybe we'd make cake. But after that, we would play games. And now we were 16 or 17 years old at this time. And we played games like charades, we played childish games, bird beast and shape, we played remembering games.
Mrs. Gerrigan, what is bird beast and shape?
You stand in it, you sit around in a circle, and everybody, you have one person here. And she points to a person and says, bird beast and shape. And before she counts 10, you must say, a bird, because it's a bird, but you can't repeat if anybody says cat bird, you can't say cat fish, cat bird, cat fish. You have to be sure that you have a different bird. So it's a little bit that we play alphabet. We would start the name of a city, town, or country, and the last letter that it ended in had to start the name of the next town or place or whatever the name. So it was always moving up. So we had to go back. Well, then we got home, like, this is fast about dusk, and then we'd come home, and many of us would be living going, and we'd come to our house, which had a big front porch, and we would dance with a wind-up Victrola. Somebody would stand and go, well, we had these records, and we'd put wax, powdered wax on the floor, or cornmeal if we didn't have wax, and we would dance. And we danced, I guess, two or three summers away, that way. And it was a wonderful time.
Delightful.
We had a good time. There was no pairing off, there was no dating, you just went with the crowd, you had a good time. And as a result, it was a very wholesome life. And we would dance till 10 or 11 o'clock, and then the boys would go home. Some of them rode horseback, some of them came in there. We did have one person who had a large automobile, he would come. And, well, we would go swimming after half the time. We'd go to pictures, and we'd dress in the cornfield, take our clothes off, take them on a hickory limb, and go in swimming.
Now, where did you go?
We went on the deer creek above the dam.
And it was owned by people by the name of Gilpin Wilson, and it's always called Wilson Mill. And we would have a picnic supper there. And everybody would bring their own supper, and we'd all put it together. And there were great millstones that we used as tables. And we would grill, and then we'd get dressed, and then come down and get our supper. And then after that, we would come up and dance at our house. Now, when the 4th of July came, was a great day. My father and one of the other members of the community would get together and buy a large amount of very ornate fireworks. And they would usually be at our house or their house. And we would set off the rocket and the Roman candles and the pinwheels and the sparklers, and this was the last 75 or so people here. And we very often end up having ice cream out on the lawn. Another thing we did in the summertime, in 1914, my father decided that it would be nice to have a service of song in the community. So he asked the members of the church if they would close the churches for the 2 months, July and August, and we all joined together with the service of song. It was held in the grove across from the Friends Meeting House, the old stone meeting house. The grove was owned by the Quakers, and they put up benches like tent meeting and a little platform with a lit roof over it. And you would have an organ carried over from one of our neighbor's houses where we kept it in the summer. And then we would have a service of song. Usually a prayer, a solo. Some prominent person would be asked to speak. My father was acquainted with a great many people from Baltimore and Philadelphia. And they would ask people to come and spend the Sunday evening and speak. They were not supposed to speak more than 10 minutes, but of course some of them were carried away by the audience. Now the cars, by that time we had automobiles, and the cars would park around the edge of the seat, and they could even join in the singing. Well, as a result, we learned all the hymns. We used to go to Sunday hymnals. We all learned all the hymns, and we all sang, and we all looked forward to going to do that on Sunday night. And that led to 1 hour. Now I want to ask you a question. Is the Quaker Meeting House still used? The Quaker Meeting House is used by an active group of Quakers. They meet every Sunday morning, Wednesday as they call it, and have Bible schools and then a silent meeting very often. Now where is that meeting? Is on the beginning of 161 on the right hand side going across toward Darlington from Route 1. There's a group of about 40 meets in the meeting.
Now I want to go back a little bit and ask you about when you were going to school. I have a note here that says you used to sometimes ride a steer.
Yes. We didn't go to Aberdeen until the middle of October. We had to go to school. I walked to school a mile from here to the village of Darlington. I went to the Darlington school, which is then called the Academy. And my brothers, as they got a little older, went over to home school. Every day they would drive from our house in Darlington down along the river, 6 miles, to Lapidum. And with a horse and wagon, we would hitch the horse to a tree shade under a in the country shed, and then we would go across the river in a little launch run by Roy Price. He would take us over about, we had to be there by 8 o'clock, the boys had to be at the boat school home at 8 o'clock. And he would take us over and then come back and get us in the afternoon at about 3:30, and we would drive home. It would take an hour to get home for the night and stuff. We had good horses. We had a runabout, which was a one-seated carriage, four wheels. Someone had rubber tires, rubber wheels. And we would go to school pretty much. Then when we went to Aberdeen, we went to the boys went to home on the Pennsylvania Railroad. They would walk down to the Pennsylvania Railroad. The train would come to 10 minutes after 7. They would go on the train to Perryville, where there was train, and get in the top of the train that went up for the Oscar Branch to Port Chicago, where there was a school there that got off the train to go on. Then they would come down in the afternoon with the train that came down about half past 3, and we would all hoop on the grass and go back to Perryville, back to Aberdeen. There were about 30 of us who went to school from Aberdeen and Aberdeen West and Perryville and upstate Edmonton. And the boys went there for from 1912 up until 1922.
Now, in the wintertime,
we went to the Aberdeen. We came to Moose Aberdeen in October. And we were at the front of it, forgotten. We only moved back in the fall. And we used the train in Aberdeen until we moved there. Our family had moved down to Aberdeen. That's where we spent the winter.
Now, we did you do any ice skating?
We played for the children for skating around Aberdeen. We had a little place called Leaf Branch, which was nothing more than a place in the woods, a little bit of a puddle. We didn't do much skating. There was another place in the middle of town, which was kind of a hollow between two little hills, and the water would gather there, and we would skate on that. If the river was very good, sometimes the ice froze and was smooth, and people would skate in Corn Creek, or they would skate on the Deer Creek, up in Darlington, go on the Deer Creek, or even up on the canal, down along the Susquehanna River. But we didn't have much skating. In Aberdeen, there was people had an ice pond, and we would skate there when they break one cut of ice to put in their ice house and sell to all of us. We would just skate on their pond, and they had kept a big pond. It was about 40 by 60, and it made a nice skating pond that everybody did. We stayed on the beach in the wintertime. We slid in on the only hill that they had. We would pack snow and sled down the only hill in Aberdeen, south of Hill. Every child in Aberdeen went sledding after school there.
Now, were you sled the time that happened?
We had flexible flyers. We had a very good flexible flyer, the whole five of us. And we could pile on top of that and go down. And we always had good sleds. We'd come into the age of flexible flyers, which were regular runners. They came in about 1910 or so.
One thing I would like to establish, which I didn't at the beginning, when you talk about your home here in Darlington, and it's called
Meadow Farm.
Now, it's exact location is on Route 1, just outside of
Darlington, 1 mile from Darlington.
1 mile from Darlington.
It's on Route 1.
Now,
Miller Farm has been in our family since 1879, when my mother's family came down by horse and carriage from Philadelphia. They would stop on the way at Oxford, spend one night, and then drive over here the next day. Going back, they would be Meadow Falls and drive up to Concordville, and there, spend the night, and then drive up the street road to Germantown, where they lived. The family of five children that they came down here, and the house has been in our family ever since, and some members of the family have been there always. Usually, mostly, it's always been 20, and the only thing you had to bring was your clothing, the family clothing, and no furniture had to be moved except sewing machines and little things like that. But the house has, it's called Meadow Farm. It's surrounded by trees that are 200 and 300 years old, high walnut trees, oak trees, and poplar trees. There's a large yard of 4 acres. The lower part of the yard is covered with daffodils in early spring and then later with lilies. And those are just a sea of color in the spring, early spring. The house is closed up in the wintertime and nobody lives in it. It's been a house that kind of degrees hospitality. Been known for its hospitality, and it's on the main road. Now, the house originally was a dowry given by Colonel James Rigby to his daughter Margaret when she was married to Mr. Mathis, and he added the larger part of the house in 1925. Two big hallways, two bedrooms, and the third floor were the winding staircase. The dining room, which original house was built about 1737 and was a one-room house, filling. And so there are five steps going from the dining room up into the hall, and from the second floor, there's five steps going down into one of the bedrooms, which is called the nursery, which houses two enormous farm beds, double beds. And that is, the house has many bedrooms for large families. We used to sleep out in tents sometimes out in the yard. And they were comfy, we would go out and sleep in the tent, or we slept on the porch, and on the cot, a swinging mattress, swinging swings, spring swings, and a canvas top, and a bed. And we usually feel if we sleep well and important. And we were not bothered by mosquitoes ever in Meadow Farm. We had lots of swallows that lived in the dining room chimney, and I think they took care of all the insects that were around. Or we had a little bat live behind the porch shutter, and that kept all we had a large garden, a half an acre garden. We had filled with all vegetables over the summer, and fed a large family. There were 8 of us usually, with two in the kitchen, and a hired man to do the mowing and taking care of the garden and the horses. We had always 3 horses. We had a cow that had to be milked twice a day. We all learned how to milk a cow. I could milk a cow. That was part of the day. And sometimes when the hired man was away, we were called upon to milk a cow, which was always a joy. The milk was milked twice a day. We didn't have electricity there. We had an ice house. And we had a wooden box, a wooden ice box kept. We would put the ice in. The boys would go out to the ice house, climb down a ladder about 15 feet. There's this straw, ice under the straw. They'd gather up, they'd push the straw aside, bring up a piece of ice, and then wash it off and then carry it into the house. And then we put it in the top of the thing, the ice box, wasn't the ice box, so the hole there would go to the bottom. And we had our milk there, and we kept the things very cool. We also had a milk cellar, which was attached to the old kitchen, which was a trough around, built up a trough around the room with a flat plate floor and concrete kind of trough, which was filled with cool water, and that was kept for butter and milk when they didn't have ice. Every year the ice house had to be filled, and I think only once in the lifetime of the family has not the ice been filled with ice. Yeah, it was snowing at once, but there was always been ice that had to get it off the river or off the vehicle. And they would try to get that into the ice house before the first of February.
Now, did your own family go get the ice, or no, did you buy it?
We had a farmer who lived down the lane in his house, and he and his family would bring it. Be paid to fill the house, cut the ice, and fill our ice house with it. And there would be the other people in the house, which nobody had electricity. We didn't have electricity in this house until 1928, when the dam was built. We had kerosene, a land, we had sandals, we had good land, and We didn't spend lots of time reading at night because the houses were not screened heavily as they are today, and they had these sliding screens, and you know, the small mats and things that came in through the screens. So our evenings were spent mostly on our front porch in swings and chairs and walkers, and just talking over the things of the day and the things that happened. We listened to the radio, to the show. We had very good records. We had classical music. We were never allowed to talk while classical music was being played. So as a result, we developed a great love of music, and we knew a great deal of the fine musicians and the artists of the time. Caruso and Alma Blues and Schoenheim were all familiar to us. We were a member of the church family, Presbyterian. My father was Presbyterian. On Sunday morning, we drove in a black sally with a horse over to Harmony Church, which is about 4 miles from Darlington. Every Sunday morning, we would drive there. Mother was a Quaker, so she went to the friends' meeting in Darlington. And in the winter time, we went to Aberdeen. We went to the Grove Presbyterian Church. And Mother, although there was no Quaker meeting there, she knew a lot about the Bible, so she took the older ladies and taught the ladies' Bible class. She told them her girls, they went from 50 to 90. And Mother was an outstanding person. She started, she and several other ladies started the free library in Aberdeen, free lending library. She started the League of Women Voters in Aberdeen. I guess the first one in Harvard County. My father was very much that he had horses and racehorses, but he did not believe in gambling, and he spent a great deal of time at the legislature trying to keep the Harry Mutual machine out of Maryland. The betting machine didn't agree to be buying races, but he did not approve of the betting gambling. And in Harford County, there was a fair association, and that had running races in the summer, in the fall. They had a fair for about five days, and they always had trotting races there. Speaking of races, in Aberdeen, in the wintertime, there were a number of men who had very good driving horses. And the Pennsylvania Railroad was one end of the town, and the B&O Railroad was the next. There was a small park where Route 40 is now. And the men would start the horses down at the Pennsylvania Railroad and race up to be in the railroad and back there. They had real fast horses. And in the winter time, they had sleighs. And you didn't call them sleighs, you called them sleighs. They were two-seated sleighs. And everybody used a sleigh too. You had, of course, the roads weren't cleared like they are now today, so you could drive in a sleigh. And that was cold. And he was going to school. We had to go to school when we go to church. So we had often to need a sleigh if it was deep snow. One time the horse fell down, and we were standing at the top of the crossing on the hill, and we went into the house there and called my mother, and she said, "I knew I couldn't go let you go. It's too late. I'll send somebody up to bring the horse home and send a car to bring you home."
After I graduated from Westbound School, I went to work in Philadelphia at a orphanage. Now, you're an orphanage in Pennsylvania if one of your parents is dead. Well, this is a house, a lovely house in Germantown. That had been left in the big house by the people by the name of Soul and Law. And they left it as a institute for girls. And we had about 28 girls who lived with us. And I was just more or less a house mother. And I was there for 3 years. And the children got up, made their beds, took care of the house. Washed the dishes. We had a cook and a doctor. Then they would go to public school, come home for lunch, wash the dishes, go back to school. And this is out in Germantown. I was there for 3 years, and then I decided I was getting tired of that. And I went to, I was a secretary at the Germantown Training School. The headmaster there, and we were there. And then I came home, my father got sick, and I came home to be his mother. You have to take care of all of them. And I was married in 1950. I couldn't get married because of the depression. I couldn't get married for 5 years because of the depression. And I was married, and I went to Pennsylvania to live. And in 1938, we moved back to Aberdeen. My husband managed the building business, living apartment. He's a general contractor, and that's been taken over by his elder son, David. The boys were, David went into service in the Liberty College at Lafayette, and then when he got out of Lafayette, he went into the Army, had taken ROTC as an officer. My younger son, John, went to Brown University. And after he graduated, he had very bad eyes, but he got in the Navy and was in the special services and was a dispersing officer
and mess officer in Okinawa, and David was over in Germany with the missiles. And my daughter, after she went to college, she went to Wilson College for 2 years, and she went out to California and has been working out first at Stanford University and now at the University of California. UCLA, California.
All right, now, when you came back here and you lived here, did you get into any civic work?
Well, I've done volunteer all my life. I was Girl Scout, I was in charge of the Girl Scouts in Aberdeen before we joined the Baltimore Council. I helped buy the or oversee the land that was bought for the Girl Scout camp over in Cecil County. I was a volunteer for the Gray Ladies, the Red Cross. I taught physical therapy, obtained briefings, and the Gray Ladies. I've been an active church member. When I was an active church member, took the church in Aberdeen, part of the Cecil Church, down to the Episcopal Church in Carmen. And then when my husband died, I moved to Metaphorn. And I've been interested in helping move the Hayes House and its location up on Main Street when the Safeway came in. To me, it helped move that down to its present location on Kenmore Avenue. And I've been very active in the Episcopal Church here in Darlington. And a member of the community. And been interested in the Red Cross and the cancer party for raising funds for property units and the people else have done. Not much to put on paper.
To go back a little about the schooling, it wasn't unusual. The Roland Park Country Day School had just opened, and my mother and this friend of hers in Churchill decided that it'd be very fine to have a school for the children. There were nine of them. They enclosed their south porch with glass and had desks there. They had a very wonderful governess, and there were nine of us, and there were about two in each class. We started in second grade and went on up. And we would go to school until 10, then we'd have a break, and we'd go play in the outside in the trees in the yard. And then we would come back and we'd sat to school until 1 o'clock. We would go home. One day a week, we stayed for lunch with Mrs. Finney. And then we would read the Red Shoes, and we would talk to ourselves, the boys and girls. We were each given a square of wool, blue wool with dark stripes in it, and a hole was cut in it, an L-shaped cut with hair was braided, and we had to learn how to button the holes with stitch all the way around the little piece of felt that found it. We had to weave the hole to learn the darning stitch, and we had to mend a barn door of L-shaped, and we were offered a prize for the person who could do the best job. And of course, one of the boys got it. It was a pearl-handled knife for the stuff. And then at that same time, we were taught the talent school of schooling, and we were given the course of art. And I learned more about art at that time than I ever learned the rest of my life. They had pictures they sent out. I remember the picture of Millet standing there in the field, the reapers, and things of less than high quality. Photographs were studied, and we were told what they were and who they were and how they happened to be and why they were such prominent pictures.
Now, you said you went to school in Fishville. Where in Fishville?
Well, the Wilsonies had a house, a big house, on the Denville Road, a big square house with a large pear tree, big trees, and beautiful lawn. And they enclosed the south end of their porch in glass. And it was made into a schoolroom. And none of us sat there. And winter, we had no heat in there. We sat in our coats and hats and mittens. And when we had the light, we'd take off our mittens and light. But we had bags of wool made out of what we call them bags. They were round, tubular things, which at the bottom were round. And we had frogs that posing. We call them frogs, that we closed over our shoulders, and that kept us warm.
Now, did you put your feet into the bag?
We kept our feet in the bag, but the not. And we were around like a duffel bag. And then we had these opening, and we could get in, put them up over our shoulders, and that's the way we went to school. We did that for 4 hours, from 9 till 1. 9 till not 1. And then we, of course, went home. We didn't come back. We got them because we had two people, and a tutor to two children, and she could give all, and we did all the lessons. Now, we had the real school lessons. We had the Calvin school system that was real.
Now, how many grades did you go through?
We went
to that
grade. Sixth grade.
So, yeah.
And we learned French and German, and good basic things.
It was almost like having your own private
tutor. That's what, for 8-9 children. There were my three of us, and there was Larry and Louie and George 73, and Nancy Webster Barnes, Nancy Webster and her brother John, and another girl, which was called Lebanon.
Now, when you got home, after school.
We got home, we drove home for an hour, and then we had to have lunch when we got home.
Then did you have chores you had to do?
No,
or
no.
You could just play the rest of the day?
Well, Mother was always home. We were a large family. We had a big house. We were on a square in Aberdeen where there were about 9 children. They were always at our house. We played, they were there every day. We would play, sometimes we would play hide and go shoot, we played kicky down.
Now, what's kicky down?
Well, kicky down is like hide and go shoot. But the first person in, you had a stick, and you could come in. If anybody got caught, you could come in and kick the stick, and everybody was free to run again and hide.
So like what we call
kick the stick. Then in the afternoon, we had a back hall with a mission table, and you could kick the stick in there. We played rook, we played park, we played flint, we played up Jenkins. Now, up Jenkins is a wonderful game. It's played with a quarter, which you hold in your hand. You have five. And the stick is to hold that quarter, and you come up with your hands closed, this, put them down quietly so nobody hears that stick or that quarter that knows where it is. And then they have to guess which hand it is and take off all the hands except the last one where the quarter is. It's a game. It's a good game. We always play. You could play the tennis ball if you had table parties. So that's a good game. And we played there, and we played from 4 o'clock until 5:30 to get time to go home. And because mother was there was no fancy time for any foolish mystery. And we just we had such good times together. children were so much better.